I have a very distinct memory from my childhood. All fifth graders in my school would load up in buses for an overnight trip with our very brave teachers to a nature camp for 2 days of exploring. On the second day, we were given helmets and flashlights, and we made our way through a hilly meadow into a forest and to the mouth of a cave. We turned on our lights and followed our guides through the twilight of the cave and into the dark. We slowly descended deeper in, past interesting and beautiful crystalline stalactites and stalagmites, and into and out of a few small pools until finally arriving at a large chamber that had been dubbed the cathedral. The guides formed us into a circle and had us sit on the damp ground. With a three count, we all switched off our flashlights and sat in total darkness, total pitch black. I physically felt my wide eyes straining against the blackness, knowing that my hand was waving before me, yet unable to detect even a hint of movement with my eyes. Total pitch black. After a few minutes, my eyes resolved and relaxed, and a few moments later, one of the guides, holding a cigarette lighter up in the air, sparked a flame, and suddenly, the walls of the chamber were alight and dancing with shadows. The slow trickling water shimmered and the crystals on the formations sparkled with the prism of color. Just only 5 minutes before, I could only see that which was barely in front of me within the reach of my flashlight. But after sitting in the total darkness, becoming accustomed to the black emptiness, with just a small flame, I could see everything. It was George MacDonald who said, "If you believe that the Son of God died and rose again, your whole future is full of the dawn of an eternal morning coming up beyond the hills of this life." Light is important. You see, living in darkness can lead to some regrettable consequences. Back in the days before electricity, a tight-fisted old farmer was taking his hired man to task for carrying a lighted lantern when he went to call on his best girl. "Why," he exclaimed, "when I went courting, I never carried one of them things. I always went in the dark." "Yes," the hired man said wryly, "and look at what you got." Light is essential to our daily lives. Would we try to walk at night on a strange and unfamiliar path without some source of light? In today's gospel, we read that John the Baptist came as a witness to testify about the light so that all might believe through him. We don't spend a lot of time in the fourth gospel reading about John's eccentricities of wearing camel hair and eating locusts and honey like we did last Sunday. Here we simply see him as a maverick preacher who made the religious establishment nervous. So nervous that they sent a party out to interrogate him. "Who are you?" they asked. Now, John was a lot like Jesus. He had a tendency of rarely answering a question directly. He responded that he was not the Messiah. Back and forth until finally they pleaded with him to give them something they could take back to the religious establishment. So John quoted Isaiah, saying, "I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord." By that he was referring to how ancient people prepared for a king to visit their village. They would make the wind-blown sandy roads through the desert straight for such an important visitor. With that, John's interrogators focused on the question of John's authority to minister and why he was baptizing their people. Clearly, John did not receive that authority from Jerusalem. And John's response was to present himself as a man so low in stature that he was not worthy to do the task of a servant, to undo the sandals of his master. But also, he came to testify to the light so that all might believe through him. That's who John is in the fourth gospel. And this gospel begs the questions, who are we? How do we identify ourselves in this world? Do we testify to the light? In the season of Advent, the days get shorter and the nights get longer. It is a season of waiting for the light. We prepare for the coming of Jesus by testifying, pointing to the light, modeling John's ministry in our lives. Now, I'm not suggesting that we run out and get camel hair coats. I can see this morning that cashmere will do. And I'm not suggesting that we eat locusts and honey, although our diets could probably use a little attention after the holidays. I am suggesting that we, as disciples of Christ, be witnesses, that we testify to the light so that others might believe through us. How, you might ask? How can we do that? Well, we do it by relying upon the promises of God. We have a hope that the world doesn't have. We have a light that the world doesn't have. And Paul helps us answer the question in his epistle this morning. Rejoice always. Pray constantly. Give thanks in every circumstance. Because we have hope. You see, John knows who he is and who he is not. He claims for himself neither too much nor too little. That's what makes him a credible witness. He speaks the truth, but he is not the truth. He is illumined, but he is not the light. He is the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, but he is not the word of God. Again, let us look to the epistle reading this morning, to Paul's beautiful benediction. May the God of peace himself sanctify you through and through. And may your spirit and soul and body be kept sound and blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. He who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Everything about John conducts us to the light. His words echo through the wilderness of our world and our lives. John's, however, was not the first voice. Before John, Blessed Mary was proclaiming the greatness of the Lord. She spoke of the one who shows favor to the lowly, offers mercy, and lends the strength of his arm. He fills the hungry with good things and comes to the help of his people. Before Mary, there was Isaiah. The Lord anointed him to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and release to the prisoners. He spoke about God comforting those who mourn and rebuilding the ruins of their lives. They will be clothed in garments of salvation and wear robes of righteousness. John, Mary, Isaiah, each one is a witness to the light. They look at the circumstances of their life and world and see a greater reality. They each testify to a life and presence beyond their own. Within each of their voices is the word that was in the beginning, the word that was with God and was God, the word that became flesh and dwelt among us, the word that illumined our path. Think about the tragedies and difficulties of your life, the death of a loved one, an illness, an addiction, a divorce, guilt, the sin that separated you from God, others, and yourself. Answers and explanations did not sustain you. How, when, what, or why was not what you needed to hear. It was the word of hope that got you through it all. Hope reminds us that it won't always be like this. And in this season of Advent, we wait with hope. There is light coming to us. In the meantime, Clement of Alexandria exhorts, "Let us all cast off all half-truths. Let us cast off the mists of ignorance and the darkness that dims our vision, and let us contemplate the true God. Let us raise our hearts in praise to him, singing, 'Hail, O light!' For upon us poor creatures, buried in darkness, imprisoned in the shadow of death, a heavenly light has shone, a light of such clarity that it surpasses the sun's. The light of which I speak is eternal life, and those who receive it will live." The night, by contrast, is terrified of the light, melting away in fear at the approach of the day of the Lord. A light that can never fail has penetrated everywhere. Sunset has turned to dawn. The reality of humanity is that we are a people of the wilderness, buried in darkness, imprisoned in the shadow of death. Will we trust the voice of the wilderness, or will we trust the voice of the one crying out in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord," while we wait for sunset to turn to dawn? Amen.